Look at your neighbor, say the devil is a liar. It's one of them songs you're gonna ride down the street in the summer. You're gonna open the sunroof and roll your windows down so you can raise up this song. I want you to go home singing it tonight. Listen. Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has for me.
What the Lord has for me.
Say the devil is a liar.
Say the devil is a liar.
And the truth made me free.
But the truth made me free.
Said I'm gonna run on and see what the end's gonna be.
See what the end's gonna be.
I'm gonna hold on, yeah, till I get my victory. Say the devil is a lie.
Say the devil is.
What the Lord has is for me.
What the Lord has is for me.
Said the devil is a liar.
Said the devil is a liar.
So the truth made me free.
But the truth made me free.
Listen, so I'm gonna stay here. Listen, y'all, I refuse to be run away.
Refuse to be run away.
I'm gonna wait here. And I'ma praise him every day. Hey, y'all say, say the devil is a liar.
Say, say the devil is a liar.
What the Lord has is for me.
What the Lord has
right here, y'all
for
say,
me.
Say the devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
And the truth made me free.
And the truth
in me. Gave it to me, darling. I want y'all to say this. And the truth has made me free. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? Let me hear you, church, one more time. Say, and the truth has made me free. Oh. You got it, Joe? Come on, one more time. Say, and the truth has made me set free.
Hallelujah. Welcome, family, to Real Talk with Pastor E, live from the Now Network Studios. And yes, we will continue with the variety of Real Talk discussions. And has God really touched us in this season? We're talking about domestic violence, but we still want to be principle based on the word of God, that everything we do is acceptable in the eyesight of God. Yes, family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity we can. And yes, through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And yes, we decree and declare we will reach the lost and the unsaved. Thank you so much for joining us in this series on domestic violence. Yes, we talked about domestic violence just in the understanding of it. Then last week we went even into the testimony part of it. And this week we're going to go a little bit farther into some new statistics. And those statistics are domestic violence and the effect on children. I want to first give our State of the Union as we continue to share this message. But we always want to be in agreement with the Word of God. And we want to know that the Bible does not justify domestic violence. The Bible is sufficient in all matters of our faith and of our life. And that means that when it comes to issues of domestic violence, there's in the church, and we've noticed that even from our conversations, there's very little attention given to it going on. And then on top of that, it's very little attention given to what the scripture itself has to say. But instead, the tragic and heartbreaking stories of those personal experience definitely define the role of where we kind of reach out. But we want to always not make excuses or get off the hook. The Bible is true, and we want to stand in its truth. Have a couple of points I want to make before we get started today is that first, the underlying reason as to why domestic violence occurs is because of what the Bible refers to as sin, not because of one particular man, woman, group or violent or evil entity. From the opening pages of the realization of the Bible, the Creator explains of how sin is now the productivity of death. And we say death. Death is the subject that we're talking about today, domestic violence, sin. But sin is sin, and we have to know that the Word is not condoning it. We've seen scriptures over and over that people say, well, women be subject to your husband, and then some pastor may tell you, or some minister may tell you, or some man may tell you that you should submit even when you're being abused. Lie. And the devil is not involved in that. But the truth that will set us free is that we should confess of all of our sins and unrighteousness so we can be really forgiven. That now it's no longer being following the world's way, but now the way of God. Second, I want to make a note of is that the God of the Bible not only outlines how we should treat each other, and it's underlined real quick, love. We're supposed to love one another. Love is the unifying principle for all of us. And if you're in a situation where love, not love that a sexual or a financial or a fear love, but when the love of God, which is nothing but giving and nothing but receiving and embracing, that we know violent behavior is not a part of that. So that could underline that one. Now, thirdly, I want to also share that nearly all the spiritual heroes of faith fled from dangerous situations. And their response is present in the Word of God. I want to give you a couple of examples. Watching Proverbs 22:3, it says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." See, a lot of us see the dangers. We talked about that last week also. We see the signs. We see the dangers, but we don't study the Word enough to really see the truth of it, that we should pay attention. Remember, Jesus even avoided the religious enemies that were trying to kill him. There's so many examples. Matthew 12, John 8, John 11, all those chapters and many more. But he always avoided because he knew it wasn't his time. That shows me that even when I see danger coming, I need to flee because I don't want to be harmed, but I don't want to be silent about it either. And fourth, Whenever a believer becomes aware of another believer, another person, anything acting inappropriate, we have been instructed to courageously confront it, that we should be about our Father's business. And no, change is not your responsibility, but accountability is. And the Bible teaches us, you can read Galatians chapter 6, Matthew 18, but tragically, some people overlook. Fifth, while the Bible holds out an incredibly high view of marriage, it also acknowledges that there will be times when a marriage will tragically become so dysfunctional and even toxic that separation is not only prudent but necessary. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Read the whole 7. Whole chapter, but watch what it says in 10 and 11. It says, if the husband and wife are themselves followers of Jesus, through then the ultimate goal will always be to be in reconciliation. That's the word of God. But we have to be able to know how to stand in order and know when we've made a mistake. Now, God can heal any situation. He can recreate, he can fix any situation. But first of all, we must want to be fixed. And we have to realize, are we really connected with that joint of oneness that we know we can reconcile any situation? Number six, the heart of the problem of interpersonal conflict is the problem of the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We have to know that the sicknesses of our hearts, our minds, is but behind any discrepancy that is against God. Remember sin. And finally, through the teaching of Jesus Christ, he commanded everyone to follow him and respond to loving your enemy, turning the other cheek, praying for those who persecute you. This is the prolific message. That no matter what is happening in your physical life, you have to know how to spiritually be strong. And don't point your finger at God, but know it's up to us to do better. And that's what we're here for. We're here to support one another. We're here to help one another. And that's our disclosure here for the Now Network. Now, going into the subject, I know we have on board our co-host for this series, Minister Carolyn Clark Hamilton. She is and I'm not sure, I throw titles on flyers, but she is one of the mighty women of God that is part of the leadership of Sisters Working Against Gang Violence. I want to apologize. I have been calling it Sisters Against Gang Violence and haven't been corrected until I went out with them last weekend. I'm looking at the shirt and I'm saying, wait a minute, it says Working Against Gang Violence. We've corrected that and we repent for that typo or that misprint. But as we go into the effects of children, I want to throw a couple of things out there as our panel, whoever's been invited. And yes, I did put out there in all of our social media sources, if you've been affected by any way domestic violence, please get involved with this broadcast. You may not get in this one, but we'll be here next Saturday. We are going to grow this until the Lord says stop. And when we cross over into the season of 2018, I want to make this, I have to say this because we're not talking about years anymore. See, when you're dealing with seasons continue. And I want to continue to grow in my season because my season is going higher. But if I keep looking at it year-wise, I'm only going in a horizontal plane. I'm now trying to reach to the highest point of the vertical, which is the crossover. Just in case somebody wasn't getting it, if there's any confusion there. See, the horizontal, the left to right is the year. But when you leap vertically and you go into a different dimension, you are now crossing over seasonally. And as we go into that next season, we'll continue this broadcast until the Lord says different. But we want to just state these things here as we get ready to open up and introduce our co-host. But children who grow up around domestic violence are affected definitely. People can't say my children aren't. If they're near it, if they're around it, if they're in a different room, if they can hear it, they are affected. And then they get, and then eventually, if abuse continues, they will become now victims of abuse. And then if they don't become victims, now they be trying to become protectors of abuse, to get in the middle of something that they really have not the stand to do. Children, we're talking about children. They become injured when they try to protect. It's emotional damaging. Their psychological mindset, their emotions, and it now turns into physical violence. There are so many statistics out there it leads to. It first leads to new generations of violent families. We've gotten some testimonies from some brothers that are anonymous, and we're going to continue to keep that way through our confidentiality. But we can still share that several have said, I did it because my daddy did it. I thought my grandfather did it. Everybody did. We thought that was the thing to do. Not least to substance abuse and food addictions and sexual assaults and date rapes and sexual harassment and porno and teen pregnancy, violence at school, truancy. So many of these things are affected by someone not stepping in and saying something or not being in that situation. Good morning this morning, Minister Carolyn. Welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E. This is Domestic Violence Next Door, Part 3, the effects on children. How are you, woman of God?
Good morning, Pastor E. I am very blessed that I am alive this morning and able to be back on the show for this topic and conversation. And as you were talking about the kids that were affected and how they stand, and that's part of the reason why we're on the line. Well, you know, for me, is because a dear friend of mine, a young lady, was killed by her husband, and her son tried to help her, and he was 15 years old, and he got killed as well. So, yes, it does affect our kids very, very, very much. This kid lost his life, and they were buried together. So it's a topic that we really need to focus on. We need the children. I wish we could have kids. I reached out to a couple of them. I don't know if they're going to come on the network today, but I'll personally reach out to them next week and see if maybe we could get some kids on so they could talk.
Amen. I'm in total agreement with that. That's what's so good about just letting God flow, because we don't know what's going to happen next week, and we want to be available, that this is just a groundbreaking. I believe every broadcast so far has just been the groundbreaking to really where we want to go and what we're willing to open up here. And this is, so the door is open. When they come, without any condemnation, they will be heard. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now I want to give you an opportunity to speak into this matter. I've given our disclosure for the network, and we understand God is working with us to get through these things, but we also want the transparencies. And I want to say something to you personally, is that don't stop being transparent. And I know a spirit may be dropping on you, like, be quiet. You tell, no. When you're being transparent about what you're going through, you're not only helping yourself, you're helping 100 others. I got messages from last night's broadcast like, well, she was talking like that was me. Wow, that's when you can see the benefits of testimony. And that's testimony, what I'm going through now, not about 30 years ago when I stopped getting high. That's the past. But my testimony is today, and I want to encourage you that this morning. I meant to when we were talking, when I called you earlier, but I wanted to say that now in the midst of witnesses, do not stop. Continue to let God use you and grow you in that manner. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anything you want to share this morning as we get ready to open up? I know that Apostle Barbara was on last week and was going to stop by. I think she has an event, and she's going to probably try to stop by and share her testimony over some damaging things that happened in her life and her physical body. But God was able to deliver and is still healing her. We'll look out for her. Did you have any callers coming on today?
Well, I think Karima, it would be a Philadelphia Nadine. Well, if they'll press one, I told them to press one. So.
Okay. Well, I see. I see one person. I just want to get a roll call before we get going, so I can identify everybody out there. I see area code 323, last 46434. You dial one. This is Pastor E on Real Talk. Good morning. How are you? Area code 323, last 46434. Okay, no problem. We just want to identify. A lot of people dial one and don't know it. I just wanted to get that in there. And I'll just put not there so we know that part. Okay, area code 623, last 45483. You're live on Real Talk. Good morning. Okay, that was a missed dial also. Okay, well, if you have been invited and you want to be on the panel today, dial one or text Minister Carolyn so she could tell me the number to pull up, okay? But Minister Carolyn, give you an opportunity to share and kind of open up in your segment to where we're going from your point of view.
Okay, I'm a former gang member, and I was, I guess you would say, how good girls like bad boys. And my first marriage was to a gang member, and that's when the fighting started, the abuse. But what I didn't know was this guy's background, because when I met him, he was incarcerated. He was in youth authority. And so when he came home, he was very nice, but then the real him started coming out. And I didn't understand why his mother was kept telling me to stay away from him, stay away from him. And then he eventually started hitting me. And I would run and try to do whatever I could. And because both of us were well-known gang members, he slapped me in front of other gang members one evening. And I'm like, no, not with my reputation. This is not fit to go down in front of all of these people. So I hit him back. And when I hit him back, he knocked me unconscious in front of everybody. So the guys around, they picked me up, and they wanted to deal with him, and I went to the phone booth, and he thought that I was calling the police, so he came to jump on me again. Well, my father happened to pull up, and it went all bad. Well, you know how protective fathers are, so my father automatically jumped off the truck with a gun. So after this, it didn't stop. I went back. I kept going back, and then I called his counselor that he had when he was in YTS, and I asked her exactly what was this guy in for, because I was telling her about him hitting me. And she had said that he was in jail. Yes, he was in jail for the robbery, he said. Yes, he was in there for the attempted murder, he had said. But he was also in there for raping all the population. And that completely, like, blew my wig back. And that's when I took the stand, like, I have to get this dude out of my life. And I didn't know what, I was young, I didn't know what all the copulation was, and she told me. And she said it was with an older lady. And then I talked to the mother, his mom, and she said, Carla Michael has tried to jump on me. And she said that's why she put him in a home, a foster care. She gave him up. And she said, I'm going to tell you, a man will treat you how he treats his mother. And if he doesn't treat his mother right, he's definitely not going to treat you right. So my word is, if any young people is on the line, some may be on the line and they be just listening and not pressing one, please seek help. A lot of these young ladies are messing with so-called gangsters, but I call them pranksters now, because it's not To me, it's like, it's so unreal now. Now that I'm on the outside looking in, it's like so unreal. But these guys are hurting these young girls, and some of the guys are older than these young girls, and they're pimping them out. That's a part of domestic violence, and it's like they don't get it. Or they frighten these young ladies. The little girls are really, really scared. And I don't understand. A lot of us say, I don't understand, where are the parents? The parents are there, but it's not that they have a blind eye to it. They just don't see it, or they don't believe that this could happen in their home. And it can, because young kids are sometimes good manipulators. I went to Catholic school, and I knew how to stuff clothes in my backpack or in my book bag, or, you know, where I could put on so people didn't have to see me in a uniform. Then by the time I walked back in the house, my skirt was back on and my black and white Oxfords. So it's like they have ways of doing it, but we don't think at the time that we could get hurt in the process of lying to our families. So that's where I really want the kids to start coming out today.
But let me kind of interject here, because you said something real early, and I started like, hold on right there. That's a topic right there. Now, and I know, because I've been incarcerated, and I know how we meet. I know about pen palling. I know everything about it, but what attracts a woman, or what would you say to a young lady out there today that got hooked up by one of her friends? Hey, my brother in jail, he needs somebody to write him. What would you say? I mean, because that's definitely not the way to hook up. I've seen so many marriages. People getting married, they met through a letter, got married just for I can't even get it out. But, you know, when they let the married couples visit, especially in California. But afterwards, it's always destruction. I know there has to be one successful out there, but even my time, I've never seen one go successful. It always went right afterwards when they came out. What would you say to that young lady that has got hooked up with somebody that's in jail already, don't know nothing about him, never met him in person? What would you say to her?
Could you repeat the question, Pastor E?
No. I said if a young lady out there that got hooked up with somebody in jail through pen palling, or it happens to most people. But like my sister, got a friend, you know, get somebody to write me. What would you tell her?
Don't do it.
I'm serious. I've never seen a successful relationship come from that type of situation. And I've been locked up. So I know what goes on. There's some lonely stuff in there. And yeah, you're right, anybody.
Right.
But I'll tell you, after you answer that, I'm going to tell you from the other side that how it goes.
I recently had a friend of mine that was going to the prison. I was going to see my husband. And she moved out here from Florida by herself. She was renting a room, got a job, and she stuck with this guy for 16 years. 16 years. Going to visit him. Sometimes she would give him all his money. She didn't really know it was easy for him to manipulate her. We call them ducks. Like, first they start off.
Yeah.
Asking for a visit, then send them some paper, then it's a package. Then they'll even attempt to ask you to smuggle them drugs. And then when they know they got you in that deep, then they'll keep on reeling whatever they want. And this young lady, she stayed for 16 years. And so the day before he was to get out, he told her, don't come get him. His family was coming. So it's like, why couldn't she come with the family? And then he seen her the next day. That was only for her to buy him a cell phone and to give him some more money. After that, he didn't see her. And he told her that he didn't want to be with her no more. So now she's stuck out in California, a place she knows nothing about. And the next time she heard from him was like 4 months later, and he asked for $500, and she gave it to him. So my thing is, if you don't know this person, if you don't know them, stay away from them. I mean, even pen pals get sucked up, because that's what happened with my first husband. However, we got married on the street at City Hall, but still, he was a repeat offender. He kept going back. He was a batterer. He was a drug user. He was a drug dealer. He ended up being a rapist. Another lady that owed him money, I seen her years later in the check cashing place. And she told me that that's why she stopped using drugs. She was one of his customers. And he owed her money. She owed him money. And him and one of his friends went to her house. And he beat her up. And then he told the friend to wait outside. And she told me that he raped her. And I believed him, because he had been in prison for rape. So it's like, if a friend wants to hook you up, tell him, you cool, deuces, see you later, bye, because you don't know what you're walking into. And an inmate will tell you what he's in there for, but I didn't do it, or they're pumping it up, they're making it sound too good. No. Wait for God to see
you.
Oh,
my God.
And I'm like 53 years old, and I know. You have to wait on the Lord. My husband is in prison. He's in prison for killing his baby mama. But I knew him on the street. I befriended him, but I was married, and he had a girlfriend, the girl he killed. But we still socialized with each other. We still went out with each other. So both of us were wrong. But out of that wrong relationship he's in jail, so he couldn't physically abuse me, but he started verbally abusing me. And how could I be a domestic violence counselor telling these girls what to do or what not to do, and I'm accepting verbal abuse? And it wasn't until I got on this ministry line, I was like, I'm not messing with him no more, I'm not this and this. But that was my husband. I felt like we could work it out. But I got the strength from Pastor E and Mother Valentine and Sister Terry and the other minister that was on the air at that time. I forgot her name. Minister Michelle.
Minister Michelle.
Yes.
She was very influential.
And they put me in the green room. And they talked to me, and even then, the other line clicked, and it was him. And I said, hold on. He's calling for you. But these women are praying for me. Are you sick? You're going to tell them to hold on so you can talk to this guy? And I thought about that night. And I said, no more will I put a man before I will put God. And then that's when I grew the strength. And he didn't believe me, because he said, you're always saying you're going to leave. You always say that. You always say you're not going to come. You always say that. Well, I haven't been to see him. It'll be a year in January, and he's 15 minutes away from my house. I moved to Lancaster to be near Lancaster Prison, but I haven't been there because God first. So that's what I need these young girls to do. If God is not in the middle of it, he shouldn't be in it. The man or the woman or whoever in jail, whoever's incarcerated, pray for them. You ain't got to write them, and you ain't got to run for them.
Well, now I'm glad you shared that part. But here, I know there's probably going to be a lot of brothers like, man, why you put us out there like that? But we have to be transparent here. The number one reason for a guy hooking up, I don't care who you are, and most of the women in there are lonely, don't have anybody, have been rejected on the outside, and now someone who has nothing but time gives you what you want, time. Well, let me first explain. The number one reason for a hookup from the outside, from the inside out, is for number one, help, attention. It's a competition in jail when you get locked up to see how many phone cards, how many phone minutes how many packages you can get in other people's names, how many letters you're getting, how many pictures you're getting. It's always a competition. It's a man jungle of competition. And by having those type of things, visits, like I knew this one brother that he every week he had a different visit from somebody else. Every week. And these were all young ladies that had been used by somebody else or done wrong by somebody else, and now found this sweet talking guy through paper that got abused for number one packages, phone minutes, money, definitely letters, pictures, and as Minister Carolyn said, drugs will come up one way or another through a package, through some other way of doing. I say to anybody out there, and we can end it right where you said, pray for if you have a heart for people in prison, the best way you can help them is through prayer. That goes for males and females. It happens on both sides. Guys that are out there lonely, they find these ads, and the ads really is someone who's locked up. They get to writing and get to going back and forth, and it always ends up in the same things. People in jail need help. They have committed a crime, and they're doing their time, but in the midst of doing your time, you can't make no money. And family will cut you off in a minute. Them phone calls be once a month, not every day, and every day it's a battle for the phones and to be able to have that power. Then when they open up those phones, you can get on it. It's for the sole purpose of using. And when you now take calls, I guarantee you the first thing was, can you make a three-way? Because now you're my throughput to get to whoever I want to through your phone, and I'm making phone calls like I'm doing. Now, they've changed some things. Thank God I ain't been locked up in a long time. And I know they changed a lot of systems where you can't. But back in the day, it used to be where I had access to everybody in the world through that person that I could get a three-way through. So we want to disencourage that. And we want to also say, if you have a heart for somebody who's in prison, you do not have to throw them away. Disconnect yourself until they get their lives together. But you can direct them to P2P. You can direct them to Sisters Working Against Gang Violence. You can direct them to the Now Network and many other of our covenant partners that we could sow into their life while they're in prison. Write them the right kind of letters, give them the right kind of information that they can really find Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Then there's a chance that they'll come out and do the right thing. That's what we do suggest. Don't throw them away. We're not saying that they're no good. Everybody needs the word. Everybody needs God, but they need the right ministry and the right people in their lives to provoke them into purpose. That's our cry today. Don't throw them away. Get our information to them. Get their information to us. We will reach out to those individuals. But that is a big thing, Minister Carolyn. How many young ladies get hooked up because they get hooked up with gangs. One of the gang members go to jail. They need somebody, even though they got a woman, they got kids, they got family. They need somebody else to now handle their business on the other end. They get hooked up through the gang, and then all of a sudden their whole life is absorbed that much in living somebody else's life. So thank you for sharing in that matter there. I see a number that just popped up, area code 858. That's an out-of-state number for sure. 858-2359 is your last four. Welcome to Real Talk with myself, Pastor E, and Minister Carolyn. Good morning or good afternoon.
Yes, good morning, Pastor E. This is Ali talking to you.
Hey,
I'm right here.
You changed numbers on
right
me.
Here in San Diego.
What's up, Brother Ali?
Man, I'm just listening to you, you know, and the young lady and everybody and all the spirits that might be around us while we're on here. You can hear them, too, if you really listen.
Come on now.
Huh. So, you know, I wanted to say this, though. I don't understand how anybody could want anybody without wanting the Creator first, you know, really. It doesn't matter, you know. I got a lot of sisters, and I always said a relationship is not going to make your life better. A relationship with the Most High will make your life better. But you got to leave these guys alone. I don't know why they think they can't have a good life unless they in a relationship. It makes no sense to me. You know, and they just keep going and going and going and going for these men and men going for these women. The whole jail system right there. When somebody go to jail, that's when we should put God in it. God right there. God right, right there. Not me coming to visit you, not you calling me, not waiting for you to get out. You just put God right there. That's it. Ain't no calling, ain't no coming, ain't no writing, because the reason why is not that they don't need the attention and the support while they're locked up, but these people got to really learn who the Most High is, and most of the time, people don't learn that until everybody lets them go.
That's right.
And if you can't get everybody to let you go, then you let everybody else go so you can get the Most High, because it don't make no sense, man. You know, I had that same disease. I thought I couldn't make it without a girlfriend. I got to have a girlfriend. The world teaches you got to have a girlfriend, hook up with her, have some kids, go to college or whatever, and get married and have a life. That's what they teach you, you know, not in that order, but you know what I'm saying.
Right, right.
And so, but they don't never mention the Most High.
That's right.
They mention college, money, but they never mention the Most High. A picket fence, but never the Most High. A dog, but never the Most High. And so that's the problem now. Today, I just say anybody that's listening, today, learn to fall in love with yourself. And if you learn to fall in love with yourself, you will love yourself so much, you will have a whole world trying to love you that want to be right. The Most High gave that to us and all of us to be strong and have power to make it. We don't need another significant other to do nothing, period, you know. And I'm just saying that because it really hurts my heart to see that people continue to go through relationship problems and it doesn't seem like they don't learn. I'm like, look at your mama and your daddy and your uncles and aunties. Look what they went through. Some of them was getting beat up, and some of them was going to jail. Some of them was drug addicts, all that. Didn't you see that before? The Most High showed you your mama and your auntie and your cousins for a reason. He didn't just show you because that's your family. He showed you because he wanted you to watch what they go through so you can learn. So that's all I got to say, Pastor E.
Man, that's it. I mean, and you know, but the thing about it is that a lot of people see it, and don't say nothing, and just let it continue, and it's right in front of their face. And then when the effects of it come back, then they say, "I told you so." But when you really tell somebody the truth, you don't just tell them, "Hey, man, you might want to watch that." No, you tell them, "No, that's not good for you. Can't you see that has no kind of benefit in your life in it other than trying to take away your life?" And we're going to do better. Man, God bless you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Most High got love for all of us.
Yes, he does. Oh, that's all we need to do is pay more attention to that love. God bless. Minister Carolyn, I know you're still there. You were bouncing a little bit, so I muted you. But, yes, definitely we want to be here. And as I share, we want to be here to help. And we want this to be the channel and the avenue that we can continue to share God's love and let people know that there is a place, there's a safe haven for them to reach out to. I don't see anyone else. If you did call today and you wanted to get in on the broadcast, go ahead and dial 1 right now. We'll go ahead and bring you in on the conversation and give you that opportunity. Area code 323, last 45570. You're live on Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn.
Good morning, Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. This is Pat Wright, and thank you, Minister Carolyn, for tagging me this morning on this
praise
topic.
God.
Amen. And I've heard some good things, and I've been interested in this since I saw you talking about it, Minister Carolyn, on Facebook. And it's kind of something that I had kind of pushed back in the years of my life beyond, but in the right now, you know, domestic violence can begin slowly in verbal attacks. And for me in my life, I grew up thinking, that's just the way it is because I saw my mother being domestically assaulted by her mates and everything. And, you know, she would wipe herself up and dry her eyes and keep going, stay in a relationship. And I also saw my mother finally leave the relationship. What I didn't pay attention to, or what I didn't have as a little girl, was a talk with my mom about signs, you know, the signs and you know, she would just get away from these relationships, and we end up, you know, running for our safety, you know, and that would be it, you know. But as I'm older now, and I see the signs, the definition of love is changing because of the love of the Father in my life today. And so how I feel about myself is changing. What I want for myself is changing because of the love that God is showing me. And if it doesn't feel anything like that, then something's wrong, you know. So, you know, these young girls who get, you know, start writing and everything, you know, basically, you know, we could get to them and minister to their self-worth and their self-love and introduce them to a relationship with Christ. Then they would, you know, remind them of the things that they grew up watching. Because, you know, in life we tend to follow what we remember, the pattern, you know, without knowing it subconsciously. You know, we're seeking the same people that we saw as children, you know, and it just kind of, we just kind of end up there. But when anything begins to feel painful, you know, we really don't know it unless we know what real love is.
That's right.
So that's what I wanted to share. And I heard Pastor E when he talked about even Jesus didn't put himself in harm's way, you know. But you have to know to do better. If you don't know
that's better, you can't do better.
You know, so it begins there with ministering to these. And it's not just a girl, females out on the outside being a runner, quote unquote, but it happens to men too. You know, it's trying to fill that void with anything and everything, you know, on our journey, hopefully to get to Christ. You know,
man, that's awesome. And what's so important is that somebody has to be there too. In ministering, don't just think it's about, and I'm not speaking to anybody in particular, I'm speaking in general, is that when we minister to people, a lot of think it's just sitting behind a pulpit and saying, thus saith that. No, ministering to people is really meeting them where they are without any condemnation and then supporting them, not just for that day, but supporting them through and out of it. And that's what we have to do better. I know that there's help out there. I know there's hotlines out there, but that's for one day. Where's the lasting help and consistency? That's the word I was really wanting to drop in my spirit. The consistency that we stay here. So this is the kickoff here on the Now Network, that we're going to be an open avenue for someone to come and speak, for someone to come and listen, but for someone to come and be supported and to be walked hand by hand with you to get you to where you need to be. Thank you so much, woman of God. That was awesome.
Amen.
You're welcome. Minister Terry, now don't hang up anybody to dial one. I'm going to open the lines back up at the end that we can all may have took on a nugget that we want to share something for that one person listening that could hear better from you than they can from me, our closing remarks on how to get in love with God. Minister Terry, good morning. How are you, woman of God?
Good morning. Good morning, beautiful family. Good morning, Pastor E, Minister Curlin, and all the listeners on board. I've been listening, but you know what? I love what Minister Curlin said about how a man treats his mother and how a female, a lady, treats her dad is how they're going to treat you. So then I heard you guys, family, you were talking about conjugated visits. They are not consummated by God. Thank you for helping me on that one. Yes. Conjugated visits. They are not. People are hooking up because they are trying to fill a void in their lives. And I think Minister Ali said it. That's that relationship with Christ, to love God and love yourself. You can't love nobody else until you love God and you love yourself. When I was listening to it, and just the need, it took me to Philippians 4:19. God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And some of these people are reaching out for a need, and it is not in the prison, because I tell you, I do a ministry. I write letters. I write letters to family. I write letters to friends that have family in, because I have to write. The Lord has told me to write them and give them hope. And their hope is in Jesus Christ. And Pastor E, before they come home, I have directed them to contact. I'm going to put them in contact with you, because some of them have been gone many years. It's going to be a reality check. And I have received a letter. One of my nephew's inmates one of my nephews was in there, and he had to be sent to a mental hospital because he was in prison. And a mind in prison is terrible if your mind is not with you 100%. I received a letter from someone that was in the same prison as him, and I said, oh, no, I do not do that. I wrote him back. I said, you know, I give hope in Christ. If you want any further information, I can send you and help you with, write me back. Heard no more from him, but I say glory be to God. I tell my nephew I'm going to keep praying for all those that's in because there is hope in Christ. But Pastor E, Mr. Curlin, this is awesome because a lot of women especially get caught up in this going after the man, but the man has to find the woman. So give him time to get himself together when he gets home before he can do anything. He has to get that relationship with Christ. Glory be to God. Awesome, awesome family. I'm just over here taking it all in.
That is so true. You keep giving me the assignments. Y'all get to talking, and I start writing, and then I get assignments. We are definitely want to look into a reentry program for those that are incarcerated. And definitely we need to, those people that are writing back that want more information, I definitely can get involved in that mailing process and send some information.
And
definitely can write some and give you some information to send. And I did just print out the first chapter of the Now Experience. We're going to get that back out in some people's hands real soon here. And look out for that book. We believe in completion by December 31st, going over into the new season and then publishing that work of God. But yes, we definitely want to be a part of that. If you're on the line and you say, hey, I could, that's a ministry for me, I can just write encouraging God gifted messages. You have a channel through Minister Terry and myself to get these letters out to inmates that need a good word that we can help them get their lives together. God bless you for that inspiration there, woman of God.
Amen. God bless you, family. Love you all.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else, you got a few more minutes, you want to dial one to get in the conversation, we can take that. Now, the Lord just dropped in my spirit. We talked about the effects of children. We're going to talk about domestic violence right next door, but it's through family abuse. We're going to talk about family abuse, a mother, a father, sister, a brother. Someone is abusing you verbally. Someone is abusing you physically. Some person is abusing you sexually. We must start to really hone in on that thing, and we need some testimonies. I know five already on this broadcast right now, and God is really doing great works on this Saturday morning broadcast, kind of honed into a subject. I know five right now that can testify of a parent or a sibling that abused them in their growing up. We're going to bring that out next week, and we're asking you to get in touch with me that you want to be a part of this. We're going to be asking others to get involved with this. And I have testimony, not me personally, but I remember my aunt. I'm going to leave that for next week on some things that I grew up watching. And someone else may be seeing the same thing and think it's okay. We're going to acknowledge and identify those issues and things like that. Minister Carolyn, I want to give you an opportunity. Any closing remarks, anything you have going on ministry-wise that you just need prayer for? Or just want people to be in support with you for, or just closing remarks for today?
I just want the young people and anyone possibly that is going through, even I kind of wanted to piggyback on what we were talking about, the inmates and the violence that could occur, like Minister Terry was saying that, she wrote her nephew and someone called her.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen inmates fighting because he had one inmate call his mom. And the inmate started hitting on the mother. And the bottom line was the mother ended up going to see this guy instead of going to see her son. And she fell in love with the guy. But the son knew the game that was being played. So that started a whole new different kind of violence within inside of the prison among these men because of the mother and the son. So I want if anyone is listening that is going through something like that, also continue to call in. Continue to reach out to Pastor E or myself or any of the other covenant partners that is with this broadcast and just ask for help or ask for advice. I came on here like broken, thinking, you know, that I had everything under control, and I started listening to things and hearing new things, things that I hadn't heard before or things that people hadn't helped me with. And I began growing. So they say sometimes one person has to plant the seed, the other person has to water it, the other person has to water. Well, I've been planted and watered just on this ministry alone. So we're here to help anyone. So amen. I just want prayer for all the young ladies, young men that are going through any type of domestic violence. I want prayer for strength for myself and any other woman that is going through. And I want prayer for all the inmates that are locked up, that are trying to find a duck to fall for the manipulation and the games, and also prayer that they reach out to Christ and they allow him to be their savior, their runner, their healer, their lawyer, and anything else they would have these young women to be. And that would be it.
Amen, amen. Dynamic. We want everybody to please continue. This is just not today's segment, but all the things that we've already talked about. If it comes up and someone is in an abusive relationship, you need to get them in touch with us immediately. Don't wait till next Saturday. Real talk. You can reach us any kind of way. The P2P hotline, 562-413-3710. The P2P hotline, 562-413-3710. Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, Minister Carolyn, 323-830-2161. Again, 323-830-2161. Young people, it's okay to text. That number, that P2P hotline, takes text. It takes phone calls. It takes voicemails. You name it. You can do anything on that broadcast. And I believe also with Sisters Working Against Gang Violence, that number also you can text. If you don't want to talk, text us. We can definitely engage in a conversation with you. And if something else comes up that we've talked about that's prevalent, let's talk about it next week. Just because we say we're going to talk about family abuse, that's just another area we have to investigate and really talk about and be aware of. But we could still piggyback next week that people call from jail, people call that are in those relationships, those abusive relationships with an incarcerated person. Let's get them on the call next week and let's explore how we can go deeper in making ourselves available to reach out to people. Now, I'm telling you now, we're not providing phone cards. We're not providing phone minutes. We will reach out and get in touch with the facilities they're in, the chaplains that are in those facilities, get them part of their ministries. It's not just us writing a letter and sending you a gift or a package. We're not here to be a duck either, but we are here to support and to be there to help you do better when you want to do better yourself. Please tell somebody. Share this with somebody. Heavenly Father God, we thank you today for your spirit. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your correction. We thank you for your spirit of obedience. We thank you for your spirit of accountability. That, Lord, we first come before you and say, Lord, thank you for forgiving us. And if there's anything we've overlooked, remove it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray not by power and not by might, but Lord, we pray in agreement for every person that's in an abusive relationship right now, that your spirit falls in them right now of awareness, a spirit of courage falls in them right now in the name of Jesus. A spirit of confidence drops on them right now in the name of Jesus. A spirit of hope, belief, and faith that they can trust God to leave. And Lord, you'll give us the means, you'll give us the answers, the phone numbers, the facilities, and the places that we need to house and help these battered men and women, that, Lord, now they can find safe refuge. We thank you that you're already providing. We thank you that you're already in placing. We thank you, Lord, that you're already opening up the doors that we put the key in and turn and open. Lord, we thank you right now. But, Lord, we ask that your spirit of strength is deposited, that the spirit of protection is placed around and about every person. Lord, we pray for the inmates that are incarcerated. We pray for the inmates that are in halfway houses. We pray for the inmates that are on parole, probation. We pray that, Lord, your spirit drops on them right now of reconciliation. We thank you right now that you're filling their spirit of forgiveness. You're overwhelming them with forgiving, that now they can find relationship with you and reach you right now. Lord, we pray that as we pray in agreement, Lord, that you're reaching the lost and the unsaved by our words of truth. Lord, we thank you that you have saved the lost and the unsaved by their confession of faith. And Lord, we thank you right now that it is done. We thank you right now that it's finished. We stand in agreement that it's already done. So we glorify you right now. We lift our hands and praise you right now. We worship you right now in spirit and in truth for the finished work. And now we decrease of ourselves, of our own agendas. We decrease of our own wants, our own needs. And we say, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. We pray this in agreement. We pray this through love. In your son Jesus' name we pray, and all in agreement said, amen. Amen. Family, thank you. I feel the spirit of agreement. I feel the spirit of completion. I feel the spirit of God moving in each and every one of our hearts. That's our minds right now, collectively, no matter where you are geographically, know where you are in what city, what state, what place, but spiritually on one accord. Thank you for them high fives. Hallelujah. Thank you for agreeing with us here on this network. Chains will be broken, yokes will be removed, and burdens will be destroyed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God bless you, family. Join us next week, next Saturday, for Real Talk with Pastor E and my co-host, Minister Carolyn. We are continuing domestic violence right next door. Next week, part 4, domestic violence in the home.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.